Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. We're going to be all over the place today. Much on the Cardinals winning last night, obviously. Jake Plummer will join us here in about 10 minutes. I want to talk to Jake about MVP and Carson Palmer and just what he sees out of the Arians offense and why more people don't go about it the way that the Cardinals do. Last night, I didn't think was a complete effort, but, I mean, they win. That's it. Bottom line, this is the time of year where those guys are beat up, bruised, battered. I shouldn't even say effort. It wasn't a smooth, crisp, clean game. But the Vikings are desperate. You got to give them a little bit of credit. It was just a check in the box to me. It was exciting for fans. I'm sure it was. And you enjoy it. I'm not going to downplay it. But if you play like that when it comes down to one and dones in postseason, it's going to be close, you know? If Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have a brain cramp last night, and it's on Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think it's on Norv Turner, I don't think it's on anybody, it's other than Teddy Bridgewater, and Dwight Freeney made a great play. So Jake Plummer will be with us. Mike Norvell's going to stop in today, the former Arizona State Sun Devil offensive coordinator. Some of you are happy that he's gone, some of you are not. I think it was good for him to go through the criticisms that he went through this season. But as he leaves to become the head coach at Memphis, what are his thoughts, recollections on his time here? But also, what is his view of DJ Foster in the future, his view of Taylor Kelly, Mike Bercovici? I'm hearing Taylor Kelly's name quite a bit out there in terms of a riser go be a GA or go get a position on a staff. He's not going to be a coordinator or anything along those lines, but he's a smart kid. And it wouldn't surprise me if Mike pursued him. Just wouldn't be. I think if Chip Long doesn't take the spot at Memphis on Mike's staff, it'll be interesting to see what happens here with Chip, because it is the recruiting position that he has. ASU did hire a coordinator yesterday. Goody at the Movies will be with us. Our annual visit on Fridays with Bill Goodykoontz. He is reviewing today. What is it, Jordy? He's reviewing Heart of the Sea today. That's right. Chris Hemsworth. So we're going to talk to Bill about that. Also, Concussion. I want to get into it with Bill on that movie. I'm going to New York next week to do a sit down with Will Smith that we'll bring back and put on the TV show and also here on sports360az.com. Brad Sussmat Football AZ is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona at 6:30 and following the Suns game about 11 o'clock tonight. And then it replays a couple other times as well. So if you want to check our content out there, of course, all of our content up on our website, sports360az.com, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic and AZ Central Sports. All right, let's go back on the Cardinals game then from last night. They've now won seven straight. They've now clinched a berth in the playoffs. So check the box, number one, for a goal for the season. It's you're going to go to the playoffs. You're going to go to the postseason. The very good news about all of this is that they're in the playoffs. The better news is they won last night. Could you imagine today, when your team is as beat up, banged up, tired as the Cardinals on some very physical games? If you look at the games the last couple of weeks, look, San Francisco, that was a knockdown, drag-out, physical, divisional game. Doesn't matter that the 49ers aren't very good this year. That's just a tough, tough matchup. And the Cardinals swung and swung and swung. They go to St. Louis, okay? So another road game, another divisional game. And they were in a fist fight with them, a street fight with them, and they managed to hang in there. Carson Palmer's taken a lot of big hits over the last few weeks, if you've noticed. Carson has gotten whacked around pretty good. And he took some shots last night. So this team's getting a mini bye now. When you win on a Thursday night game, it's a heck of a lot easier to bounce back, because now you've got 3-4 days off. And for your stretch drive, even five, before they have to make a cross-country flight to take on Philadelphia and then finish with two home games. The fact that they know they're going to the postseason, it doesn't mean they take the foot off the accelerator. And given the fact that we've seen the growth of David Johnson once again last night played terrific for the Cardinals. Terrific for them. They have not missed a beat without having Chris Johnson on the field. That, again, is a credit and a testament to Steve Keim. The Dwight Freeney sack force fumble on Teddy Bridgewater in the final seconds, I had heard that this got him a $200,000 bonus for being in his contract that they brought him in for. So whether it does or doesn't, the facts are Steve Keim once again this year deserves to be executive of the year. There's not a question about it. Give me another team that late in the season or even midpoint of the season, when they brought Freeney in, they were scuffling. There's no question. They were not getting to the quarterback as easily as they wanted to. And they go out and they find Dwight Freeney, who's standing around on the side, ready to go. He comes in, he produces. Last night, that paid for itself. That's a clinching game play by Dwight Freeney. And I saw Calais Campbell's comments after the game. We're going to use some tonight on the TV show about the impact that Dwight Freeney has made since he's come on board here. So it's terrific. The fact that Cannizzaro made a big field goal late in the game to me is huge. It's about confidence and it's about consistency. And when it comes down to these tight games at the end of the season, that's what you need to have. So they're going to go to Philly a week from Sunday. Then they're home to the Packers. They're home for the Seahawks. And then they have the postseason. So over the next 5 days, 4 or 5 days, get healthy, get rested up, let the bodies recover, stack another victory. Yes, it's exciting. There's a lot to get excited about, but it is coming down to where you're going to have a play, win, move on, or you're done. And there were stretches in last night's game. Come on, if you're going to say Minnesota wasn't in that game till the very end, you're kidding yourselves. It was an exciting game. But you cannot have some of the letdowns that the Cardinals had as the night progressed. Without Yapati making the catch and run, okay, how big of a play was that when you think back last night? The David Johnson getting the first down out of the backfield. They were a little bit better than Minnesota, but the Vikings were still there at the end of the game. So there's always work to do to get better, especially when it comes to playoff time. On the baseball front, so Zach Greinke is going to be introduced this morning. I'm going to head down there after the show. Over $200 million. Eric is down there as well right now. And when you have Zach Greinke being introduced the day after you have the Cardinals having a game like that, this is why it's so great being here. Now, I have people that say, man, Arizona is most laid back. They're not very passionate at all about things. And you guys are kidding yourselves. This is why we're here. One moment, you've got a football team on the national stage. The next moment, you have a $200 million pitcher being introduced. It immediately makes the Diamondbacks a contender for the coming season. So it will be Tony La Russa and Chip Hale and Derek Hall and Ken Kendrick and Zach Greinke, from my understanding. That will be this morning. And we'll have all that content up on our website as the day progresses. I am a Heisman Trophy voter. I cannot tell you who I voted for because they want us to keep that under wraps until tomorrow night. I'm going to write about it on the site tomorrow night and why I chose the person that I did. I will tell you, it's not a quarterback. That's about as much as I can tell you. And in my mind, it wasn't even really that hard of a decision when I looked at the body of work from the two players. It sounds as though the guy that I've chosen is not going to win because he's in a certain part of the country that doesn't resonate as well with football than others. Are you catching on here? But we'll talk about that. The Heisman is tomorrow night. I saw where Kyle Allen transferred out of Texas A&M last night. And those of you that follow the college and the high school football scene here know that Kyle Allen, there was not a bigger quarterback prospect. It's interesting. Eric did a piece this last week on Tyler Brugman, the quarterback from Brophy that went to Washington State. It's up on our site if you missed it. Brugman was getting all sorts of attention when he was here playing, and he went from Washington State to Mike Leach's program, over to Louisville, to Scottsdale Community College, and he'll have some further destination in January. Didn't work out for a big-time quarterback on the high school level. Connor Brewer. We saw what happened with Connor Brewer when he went from Chaparral to Texas to Arizona, committing to NAU, backing out on his commitment, and going to Virginia. Now we have Kyle Allen, who went to Texas, and I remember talking to some of the ASU coaches when that announcement was made, and they told me, they said, look, he'll transfer out within a couple of years. If you're a quarterback in Texas, that's who's going to play, and the high school coaches in Texas will make sure that that is the guy who played. That doesn't mean that Kyle Allen didn't do some things on the field that weren't enough for Kevin Sumlin, who, by the way, is under pressure now to win. It's a smart move by Kyle Allen. I don't know where he's going yet. I've had a bunch of fans ask me about Arizona State. I can only look at the Arizona State situation if I'm Kyle Allen saying, okay, I'm going to sit out a year. I'm going to come into a place where they've got three quarterbacks right now, and they've already recruited a fourth. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play, but what is my future goals in life? Is it to be an NFL player, or is there something in the classroom academically that Arizona State would bring? He can't go anywhere in the SEC. He'll have to, without sitting out a year too. So to me, I look around and think, just go play. I don't know if the father and the son are going to be ones that say we have to go to a big time program. Some quarterbacks are like that when they start looking around saying, well, my kid was recruited by Alabama, so we should go back to Alabama. No, he can't play. In Kyle Allen's case, he played at the SEC, and I thought he played pretty well. Okay, and I think he's got a future in front of him, but does it mean he becomes an Arizona State Sun Devil or a U of A Wildcat? If you're Kyle Allen, is going to U of A makes sense. You look at both those schools. I haven't talked to anybody this morning about it. The story came out last night. I will tell you, though, that Mike Norvell thought highly of Kyle Allen. I can't ask Mike directly about a kid who's transferring out, so I'm not going to when you hear from him in 20 minutes. But I do think that that is a possibility in the back of my mind. They've got a quarterback who's going to go on to the NFL. And if Mike's starting from scratch, maybe that's the position and situation that makes a lot of sense. I'm just trying to connect dots here. There's a game tomorrow on the college basketball front that makes a ton of sense. ASU plays at Kentucky tomorrow. And to see where Bobby Hurley has the program, remember they lost early and it wasn't pretty and it was in front of, like, I don't know, family and friends. It's like a month ago. Well, now here's a litmus test. You go to Kentucky, you go play at Rupp Arena, and are you going to be able to hold your own or not? I think the Sun Devils have improved. That's tomorrow. It's something to look forward to as well. And the Suns are going to try to make it three in a row tonight, and the Coyotes are going to try to get back on track. So much going on here in the Valley. But up next, Jake Plummer will join us. We'll talk with Jake on things around the Cardinals' win last night, then Mike Norvell and Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Let's go a little bit further now into the Cardinals game and also on the college football front with the Final Four being set. Jake Plummer joins us, as always, for a couple of minutes from his home in Boulder, Colorado via Skype. Survive in advance, I think, was the theme from last night. Fans here are really excited. I think the bye is coming for them now to really get, I say bye, but getting 10 days off. This is a tired team, Jake. Just talk about when you're going through a run and you're getting close to the playoff time and how these games really are survive in advance.
Yeah, it was huge last night for them to get that win against a real physical Vikings team. Adrian Peterson was running hard. The defense was hitting him and you know, not letting him get off too much. But, you know, it was definitely a good team win. What I was, the overall coming out of that win is they clinched the playoff berth. So there's part of your work done for what you have set out to accomplish is to get to the playoffs, get into that next chance. When the season's over, they know they're continuing to play. For many years when I was there with the Cardinals, you know, we knew, you know, earlier than this that we were not going to be in the playoffs. So to know that they're in the playoffs now with a really tough victory on a Thursday night, a short week after a real vicious schedule leading up to that, this rest they're going to get is huge. I imagine Arians will give them quite a few days off, let them recoup and rest and get ready for the rest of December to hopefully continue to have that edge to try to somehow get a playoff game at home. That's huge. In that stadium, those fans are loud and going crazy, and you'd love to get a game at home, if not a couple. But with Carolina being undefeated, you don't know what's going to happen there. But overall, just a great team win, and they're looking strong at 10-2. Who would have thought? I mean, that's huge.
The offense, Jake, that they're running here is not run around the rest of the NFL, and it's traditional. It's not the spread that we're seeing take over the NFL. Why is it Arians sees it so clearly? They're leading the league in scoring, and the rest of the NFL is so hesitant to do what they do here with Carson Palmer and the receivers.
Well, there's trust in his quarterback, and I think Carson's playing at a real high level, putting some balls in some spots, giving his guys a chance. But also, early on in that game, I saw a few guys go make some awesome catches where the ball might not have been perfect, but you know, fails the tight end, reaches back and grabs the ball and takes it away where a defender could have either knocked that down or whatever. It could have happened and turned into an interception. I think these guys are – they know, like, hey, in this offense, who's it going to be? Who's going to be the guy to make that play? Who's going to make the big play? And it's fun to be on an offense where you know, as a quarterback, one, you're going to be throwing the ball downfield, which is always fun, but also to have the weapons that you trust downfield. You know, Floyd, Fitzgerald, these guys are making great catches And there's a trust factor there that it is dangerous. It is very dangerous. And when you can spread the defense like that and keep them back on their heels, then the run game starts to be more effective and it all meshes together. So I really like what they're doing on offense. But it's all about the keys, the players they've assembled and who they put into that offense, that why they are so effective. And that's just Arians and Steve Keim putting those guys together and then trusting them to make the plays.
Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Carson Palmer. Who gets the MVP from you today as we're sitting here in the NFL?
I have to go with Cam Newton, to be honest. Mm-hmm, I think sure. Carson has definitely a legitimate chance as the season goes, but just what they've done in Carolina with the injuries they've sustained at receiver, the way he's played late in ball games, I don't put much weight on completion percentage and QB ratings. What I put weight on is guys making plays for their team that are leaders, that if they took them off the field, you would see a drastic decline in the way that team played. And I just think Cam Newton, he's revolutionizing the QB position. We've never seen anyone do the things he's doing, getting first downs on 40-plus percentage of his runs. That's 4 out of 10 times he touches the ball, he's getting a first down. That's just highly effective and productive. And to me, that he gets the nod for MVP.
Okay, let's switch gears over on the college front. The Heisman Trophy is being presented tomorrow night. I am a voter. I can't say who I voted for, but I will tell you it's a running back, and I'll tell you that the more versatile the running back is, the better, in my view. What is your view of the Heisman Trophy this year?
You know, I think there's some great candidates up for the Heisman Trophy. Sometimes they put a lot of guys on there that are having a great season stat-wise, but their teams aren't doing that well. But every one of these guys, their teams have done extremely well. They're all in the top 10. I love watching all of them play. Deshaun Watson, Derrick Henry, and my favorite is Christian McCaffrey. And that's not just because I threw the ball to him when he was a youngster here in Denver over at Ed McCaffrey's house. It's just watching him play, what he can do, what he does for his team. He returns kicks, returns punts. He throws touchdowns. He catches touchdowns. He runs between the tackles. He runs outside. The kid does everything. I think if you look at an MVP or in college level as the Heisman candidate, I think he's just the pure essential Heisman candidate, and I would vote for him if I had a vote. But he's young, so you know if he comes back, I think he'll be in the running again. And whoever they give it to, all of them are very worthy candidates.
It was a week ago today that Mike Norvell took the job at Memphis. How big a blow is this to Arizona State losing Norvell?
You know, that stuff happens. I think it's been the last couple years, there's been speculation that he could be leaving. He's been a hot topic, a hot candidate as a head coach for a couple years now. So I think it's a good time to, you know, if he's going to leave now with Bercovici being a senior, being done. You got a young group of quarterbacks that's been able to learn a lot from him, learn a lot from, you know, not only Taylor Kelly, but Mike Bercovici, and see what it takes to be a QB at ASU. But they'll find somebody that'll come in and take the pieces that they have, a really solid core on offense, some good linemen, some great running backs, some young receivers that are showing signs, and, plug in a QB, whoever that's going to be, Perkins or Wilkins or whoever's going to step up and take that role and assume that role, leadership role. We'll see who they get as an OC. I hate to see Norvell go because I like the guy. He's a young, bright guy who loves to win and pushes guys to excel and be better. But congrats to him to get a head coaching job. I think he's well-deserving of that. I hope he has success. But I think, they'll find somebody that'll come in and with the pieces they have, put them in the right position to be a very good offense.
Before I let you go, you ever going to be a coordinator, quarterback coach? I know you have small kids, but is coaching something you're looking at down the road in your life?
Maybe. I used to say never to a lot of things, and mm-hmm. Now I don't say never because you just never know. I'm still young and football's in my blood, but my kids are young. And when you're in the coaching business, even at high school, I looked into doing some stuff here locally. It's so much of your time to do the X's and O's, which, personally as a player, I know it's important to study film and to game plan, but even at the high school level, they're so, they have such a wide array of plays that they run and these big playbooks. And to me, that's when it should be simple. It should be man versus man. Go after it, and if you're a better player, you win. But we'll see. Maybe someday, but in the near future, no coaching ahead for me. I do a little bit on the side with some kids around here, just mm-hmm. mainly playing catch with them and giving them little tidbits on how to be a leader and how to be a quarterback, be themselves and approach, you know, not just football, but life and play every sport you can. That's what I really harp on is guys, kids at a young age to play every sport you can. And the one sport I always tell them to play is handball. You know that was coming, bro.
That's great. I'll see you next week. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Take care, man.
Let's talk some college football now for a couple of minutes. Mike Norvell is with us, the new head football coach at Memphis, former offensive coordinator, deputy there with Todd Graham, but he has moved on. And you're not coaching the bowl game. You are out of ASU altogether. Why Memphis, Mike? Why that job? Why now?
Well, you know, for me, it was really all about fit. I mean, I've had a tremendous situation there at ASU, and really loved my time there. But you know, I knew it was going to take a special opportunity to get me to leave there, and you know, I believe Memphis is that that special opportunity, and it really just kind of all came together as a perfect fit at the perfect time for me.
Did it come together quickly? Did you have an inkling something was going to happen as the season progressed?
No, this was something that happened pretty quick. It was, you know, I'd had a call there early in the week that that there might be an interest, and then you know, things escalated rather quickly, and you know, it all just came together.
What would you say if you were to sum up your time at Arizona State? How could you put it into words? I know you got to recruit, so you can't go that long, but if you were to sum up your time here at ASU, how would you go about it?
You know, it was probably the best 4 years that I've had in being involved in football. You know, the kids I got a chance to coach. Obviously I loved being there. In Tempe and being a part of that program. But you know, the young men that I got to coach and pour really everything into it. That's what made it all worth it. Being around guys like Taylor Kelly, you know, DJ Foster, Mike Bercovici, V. Just I go down the entire list of guys that not only did I try to pour my heart into them, but they truly impacted my life and, you know, just really inspired me to give them my best every day. And it was a joy watching them grow. And I think that you see with what we did with the program there, it was definitely a special journey.
We're talking with Mike Norvell, former ASU assistant head coach, offensive coordinator, now the head coach at Memphis. I felt like this year for you personally, from afar, was good for you to go through some criticism, even though nobody likes to go through it, but it prepared you for where you are today, because you know and I know it's going to happen at some point in time or another. That said, how hard was this year for you to deal with the critics and the second guessing?
You know, that's part of the game. And, you know, anytime that you come up a little short of what your goals are or really in any game, you know, there's going to be second guessers. There's going to be people, you know, naysayers of where you're going and things that are happening. But when you look back at this past season, you know, we just came up short in a few games where it comes down to one or two plays. And yeah, that's always kind of part of the process and part of the profession. And you know, it's something that didn't affect me, you know, too much one way or the other. You know, because there's nobody more competitive than what I am, and you know, and looking at all situations and everything that we have. But you know, it was definitely a great year in regards to you know, getting to really pour everything into my players and the guys that we had there, and you know, to see them to respond to adversity at times and to finish up you continuing to battle and never giving up. That was something that was special for me with those group of guys.
When I saw your press conference at Memphis, I saw a lot of Todd Graham coming out of you. I think it's only natural because you've been around him for so long. But do you see that yourself? And do you think it's an evolution for you to be Mike Norvell at the podium and not somebody who's mentored you and brought you along the way?
Well, you know, I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Graham, and you know, I've been a part of his programs for the last 9 years, and you know, we've had tremendous success. So I hope there are a lot of things that that are seen whenever I speak, or that you know the way that we're going to build a program that do reflect a lot of what Coach Graham has kind of helped develop me and the coach I am today. But you know, we're gonna have our program and our way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And you know, everything is everything for us is going to be built around our players and making sure that we're giving them the best opportunity and grow in every area of life. And you know, those are the things that, and the values that I'm definitely gonna take and hold true to with us moving forward.
Let me throw some names at you and I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time. What's the future hold for Taylor Kelly?
Well, you know, Taylor's an extremely bright young coach, and he's a guy that, there's always a transition when you go from player to coach, and seeing the flip side of what it takes to prepare for games, and all the things that go into game planning and details with that. But I think Taylor is going to be a phenomenal coach, and I'm looking forward to seeing his growth. And I know that he's thought of very highly by the coaching staff there at Arizona State, thought of very highly by myself, and I'm looking forward to seeing him develop into one of the top coaches that are out there doing it.
DJ Foster.
DJ is just an incredible young man. Somebody that I think he's gonna have a very bright future. I know he'll get an opportunity to play this game at the next level. Mm-hmm. But no matter what DJ elects to do, I think he's gonna be successful. And he's grown in a lot of different areas, and I know he's gonna continue to grow. And he'll be a young man that represents Arizona State in a phenomenal way.
Mike Bercovici.
Winner. I mean, in regards that, he's always going to, Mike's a guy that's always really going to fight through anything that comes his way and find a way to continue to grow and put himself in a position to be successful. Mike's probably had one of the hardest roads to get to where, he was able to be at the end of his career there at Arizona State. And, I was really proud of him and how he finished those last few games that I was able to coach him, and, the position he put our football team in, even through times of adversity. So, I'm never going to sell Mike short of what he can do. And, I think he's going to have a great future in whatever role and endeavors he goes into.
Do you have a player that you look at as you walk out the door and go to your next challenge that you say, that kid is what it's all about for me as a coach? And I know you could say, oh, there's so many, Brad, but can you narrow it down to one?
It's really would be unfair to be able to do that. All those kids really impacted my life. And, for me to pick out one guy, I think that would be kind of an injustice to what all those guys have meant to me and to my family. And, but I also think it speaks volumes of where I believe Arizona State's program is going to continue to grow and because of the young men that they have in it.
Favorite ASU moment on the field?
Oh, probably the UCLA in 2013, winning the Pac-12 South championship. At the end of that game was one that I'll remember for probably the rest of my life. It's such a hard fought battle and a team that fought through adversity and ups and downs throughout, to win the Pac-12 South, in such a short period of time from when we were there. I just thought that was an incredible moment.
Good stuff for you. Congratulations. We'll see you down the road. Thanks for the visit.
I appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
Mike Norvell with us for a couple of minutes. Appreciate his time. Going out the door now, the head coach at Memphis.